I mean, I basically was just saying that I think it's going to be the big critics' winner, and I don't. I think that can help it big time with the Academy. Tom seems to think it's like
United 93 or Mulholland Drive, totally inapplicable.
Which, of course, I shot down. If you're listening to it, I mean, I shot that down big time. So,
I mean, Mulholland Drive actually maybe it is applicable because that's a magnificently made nightmare that actually does come through, but it's a surreal dream trip movie.
Right, and they like David Lynch, and that got one nomination for the directors, the same directors branch that gave him the single nomination for Blue Velvet.
Right.
They like David Lynch. When they can give him a nomination, they will.
Right.
The directors really like him, and so that was the case with that. It has nothing to do with No Country for Old Men, and in the case of United 1993, it was a movie that, you know, if you remember, and it was only a year ago, they had a very difficult time getting people to watch and see, and that is not applicable because this is the Coen brothers. This is going to be a widely acclaimed movie by the Coen brothers, so there's going to be a lot of interest in seeing what they've come up with when people say it's their best picture since Fargo or Big Lebowski, and you know, so it will not have the same problem as United 93 in getting seen, you know, and filmmakers will like the picture.
Yeah.
You know, once they see it, one, I did say that, you know, I'm sure one aspect of the Academy that can't deal with violence, pictures, and that sort of thing, won't like it. In the same way they're not going to like There Will Be Blood or, you know, other pictures like this. They're just not going to, but, you know.
Don't we all recognize that the aversion to violence, which I don't have a loving for it, I don't think you love it either, but I think that last year's Departed wins seemed to at least people have a way of dealing with it and recognizing something really good in that vein, right?
Oh, absolutely. I also think the Departed win was partially in response to Martin Scorsese being so overdue and things, and I think that all added up. But they would never have gone for the picture because, you know, he was overdue when Gangs of New York came out, which they rejected wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was over the top in terms of the violent contact from and the Academy members that I talked to at the time. The Departed is an extremely well-made movie, you know, something they can be proud of, you know, to honor as best picture and get around the violent aspects of it. You know.
Now, I've written something here that I was going to just pop into my review or response to your discussion with Tom earlier.
Yeah.
And I say that basically he reports, Tom does, in speaking to you, that he's spoken. Now, he hasn't done anything even approaching a comprehensive poll, but he's spoken, you know, five or six people that he knows. And he's reporting that, you know, the movie is respected, but not, we're talking about No Country again.
Yeah.
It is respected, but not sparking a lot of great passion amongst those people who he's speaking to. And I wrote, we all know, I think, why Tom O'Neill and his Academy friends are, I mean, Tom himself, he's making no bone about it. He's cool. He doesn't quite get the fervor, but why he's cool on it. And I think it basically boils down to this. If you read Armin White's review of that film, which is something I never really thought about until I read Armin White. Armin White infuriates a lot of people because he's always so contrary and different, but he said something really interesting. This is a movie that is, after all, set in 1980 back in Texas, but it really does exude the post-9/11 vibe out there. It's really about menace, and it really is saying three or four dark things. You can't see what's coming. You can't stop what's coming. The decent people of the world are starting to be outnumbered by the indecent ones, and a kind of spiritual apocalypse is gathering and surrounding our culture. And, you know, Tom and these people, I don't blame them, don't particularly like that idea, that concept. And it has, on top of that, which kind of feeds into it, an ending in which the guy that we admire and relate to the most humane, the most compassionate person, which is Tommy Lee Jones's Sheriff Tom Bell, is sort of acquiesces to this growing apocalypse and is set and is, ends the film with him sitting at a kitchen table lamenting that, you know, the values and the sense of community and regard that he had between his father and all that old-time stuff is gone. And that's where it ends.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's not recipe for, hey, celebrate it. Let's give this film our highest honor. We love it. You know, I can understand that. You
know. Yeah, really, I know. That's funny, but it's true. Yeah, no, that's good. That's good, yeah.
That said, you know, all the ones that challenge you and don't exactly make you feel, you know, great about things, they tend to be the ones that look really good 5 years later and 10 years later. You know, it doesn't mean, it's just that the Academy is about current sentiment.
Yeah.
And
let me tell you, I did a couple of those screenings last night. I was really running around. I had a meeting at the TV Academy, and while I was doing that, I was running my KCT movie, The Savages. Then I ran out of the meeting and did Laura Linney and Tamara Jenkins. And I got to tell you, the response from my KCT group, which can skew older in some parts. I mean, you know, I like the back three rows are definitely the Philip Bosco section, and the front rows are more the Laura Linney, Philip Seymour Hoffman age group. Right. I was telling Laura that before it went on, but the response was excellent, you know, and I thought, here's a movie that could be very, very disturbing to these viewers, you know, and these people, and it wasn't. You know, they got it.
Really?
You know, and it wasn't like they were going to take it out on it, you know, like we sort of want to dismiss the Academy outright, you know, and their reactions to movies like No Country and that sort of thing, and say, well, you know, it's just not, I mean, the makeup of those groups are changing too, you know, and I think their tolerance, like you mentioned with The Departed, I think this kind of stuff is more accepted now with the current makeup of the Academy.
You know, my faith in people, in the Academy, but in people in general, I never had such an Academy awards high as the year when Chicago was all but defeated by The Pianist, when everybody was saying that Polanski was dead meat because of the long distance, you know.
Totally, I know, and all those articles that tried to destroy him, you know, before the thing, and yeah, I agree, I know, and that didn't stop them at all, and that nearly won Best Picture. I bet it was winning a couple of votes of Chicago.
I will never forget the look on Harvey Weinstein's face after Ronald Harwood won the Best Screenplay.
Right.
Oh my God, this is, you know, it's not, Chicago's not going, he was smiling.
Yeah.
It was one of those frozen smiles.
Oh, nervous, yeah. So nervous. Oh, you know what I did after I did Laura Linney last night? I ran to Hollywood, you know, drove there real fast and got there just as the credits started and did Daniel Day-Lewis and Paul Dano.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for the Screen Actors Guild Film Society, and they were terrific. I mean, great. I mean, you know, I know Daniel doesn't like to talk his acting process, so I got around it, and I got him to talk about it by saying, I know you don't like to talk about it, you know, and I know you don't want to talk about it. And he was great in talking about why he didn't want to talk about it, and then he talked about it, you know. And he was so funny, and Dano was great, too, because Dano's going back to New York. He's in a play, so they have a SAG nomcom they're doing tonight, I guess, but you know, couldn't do it, so they wanted to add this one for the other actors, so they were terrific. He had a great time, Daniel said afterwards, so he got a huge standing ovation when he came out.
As Chris Tapley reported, I haven't actually put this in, but when Paul was introduced to the WGA crowd on Monday night, sorry, it was only 2 nights ago, it was a very strong applause, but a portion of the audience did not get up and sat there.
Right.
And
that wasn't the case last night. It was an overwhelmingly enthusiastic response. And they even had me, because I got there late, they had me ask about the baptism scene, because the audience broke into big applause during the baptism scene, during last night's screening. And they thought that was great. And so I did ask them, and the audience was going like, yeah, you know. I mean, they were very enthusiastic for this film.
You know? We mean the conversion scene, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's not. There's no scene where he's in a river being.
They call it the baptism. Okay. I mean, Paramount people kept calling it the baptism scene. And when I asked them about it, they knew what it was. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a conversion scene. Yeah, technically, you're right. Yeah. But they talked about it. It was an interesting day. They kept laughing at each other. You know, it's so funny. You know, they can answer without answering half the stuff, but. Finally, they just laugh at each other when I bring it up, and then he goes, well, what do you want to know about it? And I go, like, well, you know, talk about the process here. And he did. He said it was wild. But was.
Just going back to that thing you were talking about how the alchemy and the membership of the Academy is changing, and they do get No Country. They're not recoiling from it the way Tom is indicating, or
right.
they're not as cool to it. But I think there is, there always has been, this kind of proverbial longing for comfort, only because you guys, or I forget who said it, was you or Tom, but basically he mentioned the upper, which is Kite Runner. It's a very, life-affirming, it believes in possibilities and redemption. It says a nice thing about all of us at the end. Diving Bell, which is ostensibly grim at the outset, but it's actually quite full of spirit and wonder and inner journeys and everything.
Yep.
And then Tom said something really interesting. It's one of those slip of the tongues that's not intended to be a statement, but it is.
Right.
He said, even atonement.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even atonement. What does that mean? I thought atonement was supposed to be one of the safe bets for this year, no?
Yeah, I don't know if he was referring to the fact that it's not a safe bet. I think he thinks it is, but I think he may mean even atonement because it is a grim, they both die, and I mean, without giving away too much here, doesn't have a happy ending. I mean, this woman destroyed lives, essentially. But
it's funny. You don't need UCLA prof once said, people they don't necessarily want a happy ending, but they want a sense of resolution and justice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I felt that somehow Vanessa Redgrave, looking back on that, imparting what she knew, what she felt, what she had learned, where she was as an older woman. I felt a sense of justice and completion from that final scene, and it was very satisfying to me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. I mean, it worked definitely worked in what it was supposed to do.
Right. You guys, by the way, talking over Best Picture, and you're saying this, that, nobody even mentioned the Lumet film. Is that off the table now or something?
I don't put it in the Best Picture category. I think he's a directing candidate. I always have him on my list for director.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think the picture is going to get in there. I've told you this before, and that's just, Think Film is a smaller distributor. You don't have as much money to spend on a picture campaign, to really push it through. And also, there's mixed response on the movie within the Academy.